Go back to the wilderness. Okay. God will bury you in the wilderness. But that altar was buried. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. One altar there. And every man take another stone and carry it out and put it on the bank. On the bank of their new land. Raising a new altar. Making a new covenant. Beginning a new life. We're in our own land. And it's ours. But we've got to fight for it. That land is not heaven. Most people interpret the land crossing Jordan as death into heaven. Well, there's no Goliath in heaven. And there was Goliath there. There's no Jericho in heaven. And Jericho waited there, waited to kill them and waited to destroy them. Now, the promised land is not heaven. The promised land is land. And build an altar there. Gilgal. And consecrate that altar. And whenever you're in any problem, go back to that altar. And when Israel failed to go back to Gilgal and consult with God, they made mistakes. They made an arrangement and a bargain and a covenant with the Gibeonites without going back to Gilgal to find out whether it was right. They made a covenant and it was wrong. I'll deal with that later. A new order had begun. No more manna. No more baby food. No more water on tap. A new life. A new guidance. And a new kind of life. What was the new kind of life? Fighting. From now on it's war. Every day. War. Where they got their weapons from, I don't know. But they've got war. And they've got to move on. And Joshua's next job was Jericho. There it is, a few miles away. The great walled city of Jericho, and that is going to defy you. Okay? Let me take it. Because God met Joshua and said, now listen, you're going to fight, but I want to warn you and tell you this. It's yours already. You are more than conquerors before you begin. It's yours. But you do it my way. Repeat, you do it my way. Joshua, the commander, the fighter, from experience, went to view that Jericho problem. And he stood there and looked at it. And suddenly he saw a person standing there with a sword in his hand. Somebody come out to oppose us. And he went over to the gentleman and he said, good morning. Excuse me, are you for us or against us? And that person said, neither. Neither. I'm not for you. I'm not against you. I'm the commander of the Lord's host. I've got my plan. You like to join me? Okay? But I'm not joining you. You realize what I'm teaching you? There's an awful lot of people today who are preparing the Lord's program. Okay. Now, Lord, we'll have a prayer meeting, and this is the agenda. We want to have an evangelical crusade like that. We're going to have electronics, and we're going to have so much advertising, and TV, of course, and radio, and all this. Now, you agree we've done a very fine job. We want your blessing on it. And the Lord said, I'm not for you. I'm not for you. That's not my program. Too many Christian leaders are manufacturing their own Christian program, submitting it to God for approval, and going on without the approval. And the result? Nothing. The Christian church today is depending upon things. Things. Advertising. Land. Buildings. The bigger and the more expensive, the better. Electronics. Everything that's things. We'll do it by things because that's the modern way. God's got a more modern way than that. A more modern way. By my spirit. And we've got to learn that the new move into the land is a move where there's a new entirely order by my spirit. A new commander. Somebody new is taking charge of the crusade. I've been involved in a large number of crusades in this country, and I know the organization that's involved. I don't say all of it is evil. Mm-mm. The desire and the motive and the motivation is very, very good indeed. But I've got to learn. I've learned this. You can have 50,000 people in front of you. You can preach the gospel. You can get hundreds and thousands of converts. You can see hundreds of miracles, thousands of healings. Go back 12 months and find out where they are. Because unless you've got arrangements for a follow-up, the devil will do the follow-up and he does a jolly good job. Wrong. For that which God does, it stands. And disciples, if you want to go, goodbye. Those whom my Father calls will stand. John 1, 6 new disciples. Every one of them stood. They were called by the Master himself. Every one of them stood. Everyone a failure. Everyone stood. May God help us to understand what we're talking about. Because we're moving into an entirely new age. Into an entirely new move of God. Nobody's ever been this way before. The altar of the past has been buried. Maybe you'll have an opportunity to bury your past. I've buried mine. And I don't go back and pull the old man out of the water either. I've got a new altar. A new dedication. And shall I say this? Please. You may have dedicated yourself a dozen times to the Lord Jesus. All I'm going to say is, you haven't begun yet. It's become a ritual. It's become a habit. So that we go to conventions and we go forward to the trade for somebody to put their hands on their head and shake their head and somebody to tell us we're all free and we go back home again and start it all over again. We wait for the next conference, the next retreat, and we retreat. We're always retreating. That's not what we're talking about. That which is coming ahead is going to be a new dedication. And believe me, when that dedication comes, you and I will break into pieces. We won't withhold anything. And if you do withhold something, okay, you can go back to the wilderness. God will provide man and water for you every day. He'll protect you and he'll bury you. You won't go into the promised land. He won't disown you. Please don't think for a moment that I'm suggesting that every man that died in the wilderness was lost. No! Not lost. They lost their inheritance. Never saw it. They refused to go in. But there were people of God. Oh, yes. God buried them himself. I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about losing your inheritance. And that's what a whole crowd of Christians in this country are doing. Baptizing the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues. Prophesying in the wilderness. Edification, exhortation, and comfort, encouraging people to stay on and endure it all. Time we had a new kind of prophecy, and we're going to get it. And we're going to get it. And it will be from those who are prophesying from their experience. How to fight. Joshua, I'm in charge of the Lord's host. You like to join us? Okay. And Joshua bowed his knee and said, what do you want me to do? Take your shoes off your feet. You're on holy ground now. And that person with that drawn sword is the Holy Spirit. Was the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit today. Standing on the platform this morning is a person with a sword in his hand. The Holy Spirit. A sword. Not a bottle of water, a sword, and that sword is capable of killing you. I'm in charge, and I'm going to have it done my way. Joshua was a wise man and said, yes, captain of the Lord's host, you take over. And that man was never seen again. Never seen. Joshua had plenty of guidance when he applied for it. That man was never seen. And we've got to learn to walk in a new way. No cloud, no pillar, and no visible commander in chief. But the Holy Spirit is going to talk to us more and louder in these days than he's ever done before, and it's going to be specific. And the sound of the trumpet will be very clear, very distinct. You won't have to listen twice to get what he's trying to say. It could be definite, it could be distinct. The altars are there. Now get ready for the fight. Joshua went back again and told the people how he'd worked out what they were doing, what they were going to do to carry this, to take over this great walled city of Jericho. And his local commander said, "Are you mad? What are you saying? You're going to walk round the city? For what?" "Yes, walk round. What for?" "Never mind what for. We do as we're told." "And the priest, the Levite, oh, those fellows have carried the ark. Now you can carry the ark again. This time the ark is going to war. No tabernacle. No time for worship now. This is war. And you move in. And you walk in. And those priests carried that ark on their shoulders. And the other priests blew their trumpets. And they walked around the city of Jericho. One. And they went home. I've no need for any electronic system to tell me what those people were saying at the end of their first day's work. What do you think of that, love? Kids, isn't it? Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. What do you think we are? And if that was not bad enough, what were the people in Jericho saying? They shut the doors and they locked the doors and looked over the walls and said, "Where are they going? What are they doing?" Then they went home. Oh boy. What's happening? And fear will take over. What are these people up to? God knows how to disperse enemies. The next day they did the same thing. The next day, for 6 days they did the same thing. And by that time, I'm quite sure the majority of those people were saying, "Listen, we're wearing our shoes out. This is nonsense. Somebody tell Joshua, will you, to get down and do something sensible." Seventh day, walk around 7 times. Wow. Somebody's going to be tired by the end of the day. And they started their journey. This needed faith, didn't it? Oh, big faith. Big faith. Faith in their unseen leadership. And Joshua must have been very lonely. As lonely as I have felt for many years. Holding what I knew to be a vision from God. And waiting for it to appear. Waiting for the day to come. Peter came to me not very long ago and said, "The Lord has told us certain things." And I said, "Yes, that's correct. That's correct." They said, "Can you interpret that vision for us?" "Yes, I'll interpret it for you. God has given the baton into your hands." "God has given the baton into your hands." "Really? What does it mean then?" "Walk around it. Walk around it." So they've had a prayer meeting. And nothing's happened. They said, "You sure you're right?" "Oh, yes." "Well, any more advice?" "Yes. Remain 12 more times. Walk around it." Doesn't come down the first time. 13 times those people walk around. And you walk around and you declare, "This city belongs to us and the walls are coming down. And please don't stop at Ibadan. Take the whole of Nigeria. The bigger your faith, the bigger the answer will be. Jericho fell with the walls fell inwards, not outwards. That's been proved by excavation. A new order. And the people that were tired walked in and cleaned up that city." Oh yes. That's the way it began. The principles, new principles for a new campaign, for a new generation that had not come out of Egypt, that had come out of the wilderness, now moving in to possess their inheritance. New order, new leadership, new ways, new mode of living. New. That's what it is today. New. that which is inside the denomination, which they've had for all these years. And I hear that people are starting new churches and new denominations, and of course, well, how are we having it? Well, we have it the same as everybody else has got it. We have a hymn, and we have choruses, of course, we start with choruses now, and we have choruses, and we have a prayer, and we have a Bible reading, and we have the announcements, and we have the sermon, and we have collection, don't forget the collection, we have the collection, then we have the benediction. We started a new church. Really? But you've copied the old order with fail. And if that failed, what do you think you're going to do? Who are we going to win? You're not. You're not. Listen, the present system of church services is not from God. Then it's changing. And I'm not going to set you the pattern. God will do that. Our present system is for our convenience, is according to what the elders and the pastors and the leaders have taught us. Because the offering has got to be the end, and that's got to be a big thing. And that's not God's objective at all. And the building fund is not in it. You see, we've built up a system right from the beginning, and you're part of it. What are we doing? That up here now. Carrying out the old system. Whereas you should be fighting. Now you're being taught nicely. Now you're being taught as babies. I hope this is the last time I will have to come to Eddie. Not because I dislike you, but because there are plenty more people who are waiting, and they are eager for it. Are they as eager as you? Much more eager. And God is going to supply them, because you and I, in Yerubaam, have no monopoly on the anointing of God. And if you won't get up and move, okay, then where you are. God will bury you. But we're going on. Next month, by the grace of God, I will be in my degree. I'm looking forward to it. What for? I'm going to attack God. Do you hear what I say? Chad. Not Nigeria. Chad. Right on the doorstep. What's God put us there for? I'll show you. And it won't be evangelical crusades, and it won't be taking up collections. It'll be war. I know I'm at a great disadvantage. I'm going to teach babies who don't understand a word of what I'm talking about, but I'm going to know this. Inside that body of people somewhere, there's half a dozen, perhaps up to half a dozen, who will understand what God is saying. And that half dozen is all that God wants. That's all. What about here now? Can God find half a dozen here? I'll let you give the answer. Well, that is the walking into your inheritance. Not by might, not by power of numbers and armies, not by weapons, not by cleverness of an intellect and of academic qualifications. By my spirit. By my spirit. And everything that God taught in those days is foolishness to the natural, because it is a heavenly principle. And we've got to learn to move on heavenly principles, led by heavenly ways. And they moved in. Of course, you know what happened the next day. They all quietly said, well, the rest is easy. We'll take our as we want it. And they didn't. No, by my spirit, please. You never asked whether you should do it. You never asked how you should do it. You said, this is the way and we'll do it our way. Okay, go ahead. And so on right throughout. I just mention one thing. The day came when Caleb got what he was after. He came to Hebron and he said, yes, this is it. This is it. This is what I saw 40 years ago. And this is mine. This is mine. Young men should see visions, old men should dream dreams. And Caleb got a dream. Hebron is mine, he said, and this mountain. They said, the Anaks are there, the big giants. Don't worry about those. I'll deal with those. An old man, 80 years of age. We'll do it. You young men can have visions if you like. Go ahead. We'll get there. And if you leave the mountains to us, that's okay. They took over the mountain. They put their feet on the neck of five kings. They took over that land. And then Joshua got them all together and said, "Master, we divide it all up. You've had a good fight and you've done very, very well. Now you want to rest, don't you?" They said, "Yes." And they only occupied half of what they were given. Less than half of what they were given. And 2.5 tribes said, "Listen, you're staying here. You're not going over Jordan. You're not going over there. You're not going to get buried. We've got good land here and this grass is good. This land is good. We want our crops." And Moses said, "Okay, you can have it." Moses made an awful lot of mistakes, which are not all highlighted. But later on, they became evident. Because you see, those 2.5 tribes stayed there. And those 2.5 tribes, which was too far for them to go up to Jerusalem, so they built their own system of religion. One of those tribes was the tribe of Gad. Gospels tell us the story that one day the Lord Jesus went across the River Jordan into that land, the land of the Gadarenes, the tribe of Gad. And what happened? He found the elect people of God keeping pigs. You keeping pigs. Yes. That's how far low you can go. Pigs are a forbidden animal for Jews. They were keeping pigs. And then the master cast those demons out of that fellow called Legion. The demon said, "Edgar, please let us go into those pigs." And the master said, "You may go." And he killed those pigs. Can't see the master destroying all those animals. Yes, they're the pigs. What brought the gatherings with pigs anyway? Children, they were with pigs, the corrupt animals. And when they gathered and saw what happened, they came out and they said, "Please, sir, would you mind going away? We don't want any more pigs killed. We prefer our pigs to you." That's what happens when you don't cross the Jordan. That's what happens when you decide your own location. They lost it. That's what's happening in Nigeria today. What's happening in England? What happened in America? They've lost it. I am no longer concerned about America or England. They've lost their way. Nigeria is being offered the chance. You have, past tense, been offered the opportunity to go in and fight. Now the prospect before us is fighting. We've got to fight. The Levites were the people that had to lead it. And the Levites had no fixed inheritance. No portion of land was given to the Levites. Judah, Issachar, Benjamin, all the other tribes, they had their own portion. The Levites, no. They were a special people of God. And God gave special instructions for this little company of people. And he said, they shall have a portion in every tribe, a city in every tribe, a place where they can go into every tribe and say, "This belongs to us inside this tribe." Are you hearing me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's good. Because few of us are moving around the country, and wherever we put our feet, we say, "That's mine. That's mine. I own more of Nigeria than you do. The government won't give it me yet. That doesn't matter. I own it." The Levites are there. And the Levites are going to be there always. Cities of refuge, ministry, and that body of people, they're things increase. A new order of priesthood. Not serving in front of altars now. Not killing animals. Not presenting blood, not dressed in white garments. Ministers who are talking to God. And only a few can talk to God. The son of Zadok can talk to God. The other Levites can talk to the people and they can accept their offerings, pick up their collections, and minister to them, and bless them, and do everything they want for them. Oh yes, that's yours. But only a few people can talk to God. And we talk to God, can talk to God on the basis of equality, as far as our inheritance is concerned. This land belongs to me. And I'm going to talk to God and say, Father, this is our property. We've had enough of this trouble in Nigeria. These people that are corrupting this, these bodies that are doing this, these people that are hoarding all this milk, these people that are hoarding all these commodities, we disagree. It belongs to us. And we're going to get it released. These people that are cheating and making corruption in the customs, you've got to think. We've got to begin to take up a fight. And don't think that the first time you mention it, it will be done. 13 times around the city of Jericho. Every time we come to a meeting, we deal with certain principles, certain principles. What we have done here this week, we've been in the new group. I could be speaking on marriage tonight. And everywhere we're going now, we're talking on marriage. Why? Because it's vital. Vital. You fail in your marriage, and it doesn't matter what else you're successful in, you fail. That's how serious it is. So we're going to deal with it. And we can talk to God. And we can say, Lord, you have chosen. We have stood in that river of death and prevented the river of death devouring your people. We have protected your people. We bore your presence on our shoulders. Now we stand before you now and we say, Father, this land is our land. This is our land. And as big as your face is, let it be big. I have said, and I want to correct it, I'm talking about Nigeria. Really, I'm not. I'm talking about West Africa. Ghana. And Ghana started off before Nigeria did its independence. I don't want to go any further with the comparison. But I can tell you this, without going to Ghana, and I've been to Ghana a few times, listen, what God has given to Nigeria, Nigeria can give to Ghana spiritually. Spiritually. God is going to use Ghanaians to do. That's why we welcome Dr. Seth here amongst us. Be here. And please don't think that that doesn't matter very much. If God can use Esther, he can use Dr. Seth. Only one man is necessary. And the vision that is there will go back again. And it's in God's hands. And you see it work. The problem is, Ghana could overtake Nigeria spiritually. Alongside Ghana is the Ivory Coast. Dark. There will soon be a coup in Ivory Coast. How do I know? Because that's the way God upsets a country. Turns it upside down. The Ivory Coast is governed by non-national. And it will work. So God is going to quietly arrange a coup. And that which God is doing in West Africa, turning all the nations upside down, I think it will come the gospel. I think it will come that body of people that will learn how to stand before God and say, Lord, this is our land, and we are the priests. And we are going to stand and preach. We preach before you, and one day we'll be king. That's our inheritance. You can lose your inheritance. I don't know whether I'm right. I think I am right. I have a suspicion that quite a large number of baptized in the Holy Ghost prophesying Christians have already lost their inheritance. Esau, Hebrews 12, 13, Esau, the fornicator, lost his inheritance. Where is it declared in the Old Testament that he was a fornicator? That was reserved for the writers of the Hebrews. But I can tell you this, if you study the whole of the Bible, immorality can destroy your identity and destroy your inheritance. I tell the story regularly of a young lady who came to visit me. She is not here now. well known to some of you here, quite close to one or two of you here, came to my house. I sent for her, and she sat, and I looked at her face, and I said, "What's happened?" And she burst into tears. I gave her my handkerchief. 15 or 20 minutes later, she managed to calm herself down, and I said, "Now tell me." And she told me this story. Baptized in the Holy Ghost, believer who in 1977-78 saw this as plainly as anybody here. And then she opened the door a little way, and the enemy got in. And a man got in. An unbeliever. She's married now. Not to that man. But she wept bitterly. And at the end she said, "What have I lost?" I said, "Probably your inheritance. Fortunately, I can't be sure, because I don't give out the inheritance. Not my job. But I know how seriously God views these things. And I want to frighten, deliberately frighten, some of you. Will you please stop playing around, more or less, in order to save your inheritance?" There are men and women here who have already put that in jeopardy. And you know who I mean, don't you? You to whom I'm talking. I could name you, you know. May God help you. This is serious. This is real business. We haven't brought you here to tell you, "Please don't commit fornication." We're here to tell you, if you do, goodbye. You can go back to the wilderness and get buried. You can't join with us. We're going on. We've got a new commander, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to teach us a new language. He's going to teach us new prophecy, new gifts, new power. We're going to speak and it will come to pass. You fool! The old strong meat of the land, which we didn't sow out there, we're going to reap it. We're going to take it. It's going to be strong. And everybody's going to look at our faces and fear us. Will the world fear you? You come to me later and ask one or two of the chief there, say, "Know me." They know me. We've met. And I've won. Well, Bunny, don't touch me any later. I boast on that. We've met. And we met pretty soon. I want to finish. My time is up. This is the day when you've got to realize that the challenge is here. You've dwelt in this mountain long enough. I hope you don't have to come to Eddie again. It's not in my hands to decide it, but I hope so. Fervently hope so. You've had it, you've had your chance now. Now we'll let God move in. And I can assure you there is going to be a big move of God, but it's all going to be spiritual and a new way and a new God leadership and the not young men, old men, experienced men, men that have come out of Egypt, men that knew how to handle Egypt, that knew how to handle the powers of Egypt, that saw the enemy in Egypt being dragged on by God and dragged on until God brought them right in and brought his people out and took them into the Red Sea. And then said to Pharaoh, "Come on, get them." And Pharaoh, in his foolish hardness of heart, drove after the people to his own destruction and judgment. And he used man to do. We are going to see the enemy defeated in this land, in our day. And I think in my day, and I haven't got as many days left as you may have, but I think in my day, I shall see the enemy crushed in this land. I shall see the enemy humiliated, displayed, as he displayed the Lord Jesus, as a defeated devil. And we are going to do it. How? By spiritual means, please. That's my last message. Not by mine. Not by power, but by my spirit. Beginning, middle, all the way through to the end. From now on, Holy Spirit governed, Holy Spirit led, Holy Spirit guidance, Holy Spirit victory, all Holy Spirit. No guidebook, no constitution, no rule book. You're following rules here, you know. The Holy Spirit wants to break through and say, would you like to have something new? But it will cost you something. What will it cost you? Everything you've got. This week, some all of you are going to be faced with that challenge, and some of you are going to accept it and say, I'm prepared to dedicate my life in a new way to a new commander who will lead me to victory. May God grant that will be your experience. Shall we bow our heads?
Behold, God, may heaven and